about it, even though right now it's rare to catch it in this country, and 80% of the people that get it just going to have mild symptoms. It's still, that uncertainty has created a lot of fear. This morning, we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about fear and what it teaches us about overcoming any fear we may have. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. If you're using the church Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 is on page 963. So in this passage, Paul is encouraging Timothy to keep moving forward in his ministry, to keep spreading the gospel message in spite of opposition he was facing. Paul starts off by reminding Timothy not to become idle in his faith, but to maintain his zeal for the Lord and continue to use the gift that God had given him. Paul also reminds Timothy that the Holy Spirit gives us everything we need to stay strong in serving the Lord, and that he should continue spreading the gospel message because we have been saved through Jesus Christ for God's purpose. So let's read through 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather right here this morning and focus on you. And thank you for this word this morning. Thank you for just guiding us and directing us with your word, Father, and showing us that you are there and that we can give our fears to you, Father. And as we listen to this word and as we go down through here, that we just have an open heart and an open mind, that we learn about what you say about fear. That we leave here knowing more about you than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's going to be a lot of scripture in this message, more than normal. And not all of it's in your notes. So if at the end of it if you wanted to write them all down and you missed a couple, just let me know and I'll give them to you if you want them. So. And this scripture is talking about sharing your faith. He's trying to encourage Timothy to continue in that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but we're going to look at some of the timeless principles in there that apply to other things like our fears, other types of fears. John Hunter, in his book, Knowing God's Secrets, writes, "Medical science now recognizes that between 60 and 90% of our sicknesses are caused by emotions, such as sorrow, envy, resentment, hatred, and fear." I don't know where he gets these numbers from, but if they're even close to accurate, then we need to learn how to deal with how we feel. As believers, we need to learn how to be freed from the slavery of our emotions. And that's my prayer for all of us this morning, that we'll all learn how to be free from any fears. Now, we've all faced some type of fear. I remember when I was 4 years old and we lived in an old farmhouse, my aunt and uncle gave me a bed. And for me, this thing was huge. This bed came up to my chest. So I had to get out in the hallway and run and jump to get in that thing. You know, one night, I dreamed that there was a tiger living under that bed. And I believed it. I believed there was a tiger under there. And I knew that if I wasn't careful, if I got too close to that bed, that tiger was going to get me. I don't know if there was a creaky board on the floor or what it was, but every night, as I ran and jumped to get into that bed, I heard that lion growl, that tiger growl every time I jumped. And I was scared half to death that I wouldn't make it, that I was going to fall off that bed and he was going to get me. I can't remember how long it took for me to realize there really wasn't a tiger under my bed. But for a while, that was a pretty scary time for me. We've all experienced fear at some point in our lives. So what does the Bible say about fear? The Bible teaches us that there are three kinds of fear. And number one, there is holy fear. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." Now, this is the fear that all believers should have. Doesn't mean we should be afraid of God. The word that's used here means to have reverence or deep respect for. It's because of our love for God, we should have great respect for him and his commands. That's why when Jesus quoted this verse in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, he said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." I read about this young girl who was out with her friends one night. And they were tempting her to go into a bar and drink with them. But she refused to give in to the temptation. And one of her friends was taunting her, saying, "What's the matter? You afraid your parents will find out and they'll hurt you?" And she said, "No. I'm afraid my parents will find out and I'll hurt them." As believers, we shouldn't be afraid of God. But we should love and respect him enough to not want to hurt him with the things that we do. That's holy fear. And then number two, there's healthy fear. Now, healthy fear is a fear that protects us, keeps us from doing some things we ought not do. As parents, we teach our children to fear certain things. We teach them to fear things that could burn them, things that could shock them, cut them, or could break some bones. An electrician had better have a healthy fear of electricity. That'll keep him careful around it so he doesn't electrocute himself. Or a logger. A logger had better have a healthy fear of a chainsaw. That will keep him paying attention to how he's operating it and keeping himself safe. Obedient Christians shouldn't be afraid of God, but it's a healthy fear of God's wrath that leads unbelievers to Christ and disobedient Christians back to Christ. It's a healthy fear that guides us and directs us. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." There's holy fear, there's healthy fear, and number three, there is hurtful fear. Now remember what Paul said to Timothy in verse 7 of our text this morning? He said, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." See, what's hurtful is the spirit of fear. When fear controls us, instead of us controlling our fears. The spirit of fear is when we allow ourselves not to trust God with what we face in the future. When we don't trust God, what do? We worry. We worry because we're afraid of the uncertainty of the future. So what's the source of these hurtful fears? Well, Paul said it isn't God. So if that fear doesn't come from God, that only leaves two alternatives. It either comes from us and our sinful nature, or it comes from Satan. Satan loves getting God's people to worry and fear and not trust God. He uses that fear against us. One of the ways he does that is by making you miserable, making you a lousy advertisement for Christianity. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "Fear has to do with punishment." Well, the punishment that they're talking about here is the torment that we put ourselves through as we think and worry about what the future holds. Have you ever seen a worrywart that was happy? No. And Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. See, if we let ourselves be controlled by a spirit of fear, we're going to become slaves to that fear. Hetty Green has been referred to as America's greatest miser. When she died in 1916, her estate was valued at $100 million. But she was so tight with her money that she would eat cold oatmeal to save the cost of heating the water. When her son had a severe leg injury, she took so long trying to find a free clinic to get it looked at that his leg had to be amputated because it became infected. Why did she do this? She said that she was afraid she would lose her wealth. She was so afraid of losing all of her money that she could never enjoy it or use it for her or her family's good. Fear brings torment and slavery. The second way Satan uses the spirit of fear against us is he uses fear to try and hold us back from action. Remember in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus told the parable of the talents, where the master was going on a long trip and he gave three of his servants certain amounts of money to invest and earn a good return for when he came back? The first and second servants invested their money wisely and increased their money. But the third one buried his money so that he wouldn't lose any of it. When the master returned, he commended the first two for taking action and getting a good return on his money, but he was furious with the third one. When he asked him why he hadn't invested his money like the other two, the servant replied, "I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground." He let fear immobilize him. He let fear hold him back from action. When God's prompting you to do something, like serving somewhere in the church, Satan's going to try to make you fearful by putting thoughts in your head like, "What if I fail? What if I make a fool of myself?" Satan will try to use fear to keep you from acting in faith when God puts it on your heart to do something. Third, he will try to use fear to keep you from sharing your faith. In his book, Evangelism, Christ's Imperative Commission, Roland Leavell writes that fear is the number one reason Christians are not witness to others about Christ. A lot of us are afraid of letting coworkers know that we're a Christian. We're afraid to talk to our neighbors about Jesus. We're afraid to invite friends to come to church with us. Why? Because we're afraid of men. Proverbs 29, verse 25 said, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare." Sometimes we don't share our faith with others because we're afraid of what people might think about us. Satan uses fear to keep us from sharing Jesus with others. And then the last one is Satan will try to use fear to keep you from trusting in God. People fear a lot of things. They fear that the kids might not turn out right, that they might lose their job, one of their loved ones will die. And right now, a lot of people are fearful about catching the coronavirus. If we're living in fear, we're not trusting God. God promises that he will guide our lives if we put our trust in him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." He will guide us if we just put our trust in him. Now, we've talked about three different kinds of fears and how the enemy can use fear against us. Now, let's look at how to overcome our fears. See, God doesn't want us living in a spirit of fear. He wants us to overcome those fears, and he wants to help us do that. So what can you do when you feel fearful? Number one is cast your burdens on the Lord. Cast your burdens on the Lord. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. So to cast means to throw, eject, dispose of, or remove. See, God wants us to get rid of those fears. He wants us to give our concerns, our worries, our fears to him. He doesn't want us carrying around all that extra weight. He wants to lift that off our shoulders. We just need to spend some time with him in prayer and ask him to guide us through whatever we're facing. And then we need to trust him to do that and not worry about it. Let him have it. The second thing you can do when you feel fearful is number two, take refuge in the Lord. Take refuge in the Lord. David wrote in Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. David is saying that he will not fear anyone or anything. And then in verse 5, he tells us why. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. See, David's reminding us that we have a safe place to go when we're fearful. Now, I'm guessing that most of us have experienced this. Remember when you were a kid, you're outside playing, fishing, or doing whatever it is you did when you were a kid? A thunderstorm rolls in. It gets kind of scary. What'd you do? You ran to someplace safe, the safest place you could find, right? Might have been your house, a car, under a bridge somewhere. And when you got there, didn't that fear go away? The thunderstorm wasn't so scary anymore. That's what God offers us. If we just turn to him when we're feeling fearful and rely on his strength in us to help us through whatever kind of storm we're facing. The third thing you can do when you feel fearful is replace fearful thoughts with godly and wholesome thoughts. Replace fearful thoughts with godly and wholesome thoughts. See, God has given us a way to keep fear from overtaking us. We can change our focus from the things that cause us fear to his thoughts, to thoughts about God. And we just talked about this a few weeks ago, but that's what Paul said. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul is saying that if we turn to God in prayer in every situation, that the peace of God is going to guard our hearts and our minds. And then Paul teaches us what we should think about instead of the things that are causing us fear, whatever's true or noble or right. whatever is pure or lovely or admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. That's what we should be thinking about. When we fill our minds with thoughts like these, they're going to push out any thoughts that cause us fear. Kind of like taking a glass with dirty water in it and you hold it under the faucet. What happens? Eventually, that dirty water is purged out and there's nothing left there but clean water. When we focus on our fear, it creates anxiety and stress. But when we think about God's promises and His character, our fears will be replaced with faith and confidence. And now the only way to find God's promises and discover His character is through studying your Bible, through studying God's Word, taking the time to sit down, read it, meditate on it. And then the last thing you can do when you feel fearful is, number four, keep an eternal perspective. Keep an eternal perspective. See, one of the reasons that we have fear is that we forget that this life is not all there is. We were created for eternity. Try and wrap your brain around that one. We were created for eternity, forever. See, death for Christians isn't the end, it's a new beginning. And that's what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, when he said, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." If you've given your life to Christ, then you're going to go to heaven. You will be released from suffering, from pain, from sorrow, from fear. That's why John said in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." The sufferings on this earth are temporary. That's a promise from God. The next time you start to feel fearful, think about that. Keep an eternal perspective. Whenever you start to feel fearful, remember to cast your burdens on the Lord, to take refuge in the Lord, to replace fearful thoughts with godly and wholesome thoughts, and to keep an eternal perspective. And while we're talking about eternity, are you ready for eternity? If you were to die today, do you know what your destiny is? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? In John chapter 3, verse 36, John the Baptist said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." The only way to get to heaven, the only way to receive eternal life, is by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and giving Him control of your life. If you haven't done that, and you're feeling like you want to this morning, or if you have some questions about Jesus Christ, please come and see me or somebody else in the church right after the service, because we'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this word this morning. We thank you for reminding us that we can turn to you in any situation that we face. Father, we thank you for your love, loving us so much that you care about every little thing that we go through. Father, we thank you for your guidance and protection in all that we go through. We know that no matter what it is, that someday we're not going to be facing it anymore. We're going to be with you face to face, and what a glorious day that'll be. Just thank you so much for teaching us, not just letting us sit idle, for giving us your word to prompt us to take action and reminding us that we can rely on you, that we can always turn to you, Father. In the name of your your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray.